Recording started.
Thank you. Okay, Emily, the recording is on.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody, or it is evening for me, and welcome to the Who Is Review Team call, the 28th of March. We have apologies from Peter and from Sarmad. And really the purpose of this call is just to review our meeting notes from last week and to just update on the action items. We'll also have a staff report on implementation and tracking, and then we'll decide on next steps. And just while I'm here, are there any items of any other business that people want to add to the agenda? Okay, we will proceed then. First of all, can we have comments or corrections on the preliminary report from the 28th of March? Sorry, that was last week, and of course it's the 4th of April, not the 28th of March this week. Brilliant. So any corrections on the preliminary report? Okay, in that case, let's adopt that report and move on to the action items. So I'm going to ask each pen holder to update the group on their progress. Also, I think, and this is something that Susan and I were just chatting about before the call started, if you need any clarification from the team about what your action item is, this is a good opportunity to do that now. So Susan, can you let us know where you're at with the data accuracy recommendations?
So I was thinking that I was just drafting up the findings and not clarifying the 50%. You and I just discussed that. Mm. So, but I did add information, you know, pulled information for the report in the findings about the 50%, well, about the NORC study, which would relate to that 50%. So I can, if that was really what I was asked to do, and I apologize, then I can do that pretty quickly because I've got the, because I thought we were going to write the findings up, short findings for each recommendation or group of recommendations, because
yeah,
those are all accuracy.
I think that's right, Susan. That's what I recall us agreeing.
Right.
There was also a slight issue because we'd talked about, I can't remember what term we used, but we used a slightly different term to the NORC study, and that seemed to confuse some people. We
right.
talked about
contactability.
And they talked about undeliverable. And
right.
I think it was probably just clarifying that we're referring to their definition.
Okay.
We are.
So I'll make sure that we've done that in here. And I did then suggest a change to one of the recommendations. I think Alice just put it up. So I don't know if that this is the appropriate time to discuss that or put that at the end of the agenda.
I think that was the language on timeframes and implementation paths, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, on recommendation 5, I think that's narrowly talking about. Oh no, actually, it's talking about the annual reports on the progress towards achieving goals set out by the Who Is Review team.
Uh-huh.
So let's talk about this now. Yeah. I think it's fairly self-explanatory, the language that you've used. You're saying that ICANN should provide a detailed and comprehensive plan within 3 months after submission of the final Who Is Review Team report that outlines how ICANN will move forward in implementing these recommendations.
Right.
Any comments, queries on that? Do we want to include budget implications? Kathy, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yeah, quick question for Susan. Susan, the three, forgive me, I'm getting confused, the 3 months and the 6 months, and so just wondering, is 3 months enough to come up with a detailed and comprehensive plan, and Are we looking at two different dates, or am I missing what the two different dates are, the 3 months and the 6 months? Thanks.
The 6 months being the time set out in the affirmation of commitments, is that right? Is that what you're referring to, Kathy?
Yes, exactly. I think Lynn posted it earlier.
Yeah.
Right.
The last line of 9.3.1.
So, and maybe I'm misunderstanding this, so, you know, this would be good to clarify, but I thought the 6 months was for them to start implementing, but my concern is that I would want to know that they have a plan to do that. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time working all of this, so it seems sensible that they should, you know, provide this comprehensive plan, you know, within 3 months to sort of keep their feet to the fire and then allow the community to know what the plans are instead of getting to the six-month timeline and then having them, you know, sort of back off and say, can't do this, can't do that. That's what I would like to prevent happening. So that's why I thought if we had something where they had to actually detail a plan, because that would give the community 3 months to sort of say, no, this is not acceptable, and you will need to move forward with this at the six-month mark. It's just sort of a checking point, in my opinion.
Interesting. That makes sense. Do we think they can do it?
Well,
yeah.
It might be that, Susan, if you could just explain a little more in the language, you know, just expand the language that you're using.
Okay.
To the 6 months, saying, you know, that although we think that, you know, although the affirmation of commitment says 6 months to do something or other, an interim step should be this comprehensive plan within 3 months. And is it 3 months after submission of our report? Is it 3 months after board decision on the report?
I would like to hold them to 3 months after the submission of the report. I mean, they've had since December to really
correct
get a feel of what we're our recommendations are. You know, yes, we'll tweak some, but you know, we're not changing. We're not going 150 or 180 degrees on any of our recommendations, really. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, proxy's a little bit in flux, but. So I feel like they should have already been thinking about all of this, and part of this came out of the conversation we had with ICANN staff that made me more concerned, because there seemed to be a lot of confusion, a lot of, I'm not sure we can do that, or we already do that, when, no, that's not, you're not doing what we're asking. So.
Yeah. So any other...
So I can do that.
On this, and also just for those who've just joined the call, Susan started off by saying that what she's done is drafted up or rather pulled out information or findings which support each one of our data accuracy recommendations. I also asked Susan to just look at the terminology, because we use unreachable instead of undeliverable, and just to tidy that up. But I think that, you know, thank you for doing this on the comprehensive plan. Perhaps if you could just somehow integrate the affirmation of commitment 6 months so that people aren't confused, that's a good point Kathy's raised.
Yeah, I agree.
And also that the plan should probably include budget implications too.
And I hate to say it, there's one more thing, Kathy.
Kathy, go ahead.
The report, I believe our final report goes up to the board and goes out on public notice and comment, and that there's some specified period of time for those responses. So I hate to say it, Susan, because I know how much you want them to move on this, and I agree with you. But I think we were told by Denise that it's a rule that it has to go up by the ICANN board for comment. So I think we're talking about 3 months after the completion of that public comment period.
Okay. Well, let me confirm with Denise.
Okay, cool. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, and then see you know, exactly where, how this will work, because I lose track of a lot of those details, so it's a good reminder for me, too.
Hi, this is Denise.
Oh, hello, Denise.
Here we go.
Thank
let's
you.
Let's
you
ask you now.
How can I help? So when the final report is submitted to the board, it will immediately be posted for a minimum of 30 days of public comment. Work often goes forward in parallel. I mean, as soon as the board and staff receive a final report, staff starts doing, analysis and background work. And, of course, nothing is sort of solidified or finalized in terms of the board's consideration until, or even the staff's recommendations until a public comment period is completed and we have time to fully consider all the comments that come in. But Kathy is correct. The report, final report's received, it's posted for public comment. Usually the minimum period is 30 days, maybe more depending on, what the timing is and what the board directs us to do. So your question is whether you want to start a three-month clock after that 30-day period or incorporate it in that period. Is that the question? Yeah.
Yes, that's my question.
That's very helpful, Denise. Thank you for jumping in with some facts there to help us. But it's interesting that you say that, first of all, the public comment period, it has to be a minimum of 30 days. There's been some fairly extensive comment periods already on the draft report and also that you say that analysis and background work does tend to go on in parallel, but clearly, we do need to bear that in mind. So it sounds like the 3 months could probably work for delivery of a plan.
Right, and of course, I think, in fact, it might actually be longer than 30 days now that they have the required reply comment process. But anyway, it's just the process that we follow. Even though you've had an extensive comment period for the draft, will be changes, and so just technically and to make sure everyone's had a chance to comment, but it will be posted again. Of course, we'll also need to take into account what will be happening with the RA negotiations, and that will also, I suspect, impact on what the proposed implementation paths are for the various recommendations.
Yeah. But they could still work in parallel, waiting through the comments could come in.
Yeah.
They could still start developing a plan with a deadline to provide it to the community. Because they're not really providing it to us, right? Because we won't be a team anymore.
Exactly. Of course, it's important to keep in mind that this will be the board's decision. How they handle this report will be the board's decision. I'm assuming that the board will direct staff to come back with some type of analysis on the potential, implementation schedules, resources required, options, things like that.
Right.
But it is really the board's decision how they handle this report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we could still ask for a detailed plan from them more clarity to the community is the best possible solution here.
Yeah, and I think all concerned here can tell you just based on our approach to the ATRT, what has worked well, I think, for all concerned is when the board and staff is able to present a fairly detailed schedule and milestones, and that we track it, we keep people up to date on where our progress is, and, it would be ideal, I think, if we were able to take a similar approach to WIS and have some, clearly articulated work plans, milestones, and schedules as well. Understanding that if some of these recommendations require a PDP or we'll need to wait to see where the RA negotiations come out, that will you know, adds some uncertainty in terms of the implementation schedule. But, yeah, you get my idea.
Yeah, and if they put that in the plan, that would be fine.
Right.
You know, at least so we understand the thinking.
Right.
I think that's really helpful. Thank you, Denise. And I think, do you have the direction that you need now, Susan, to just refine that? And you're going to share your draft findings and the language of those recommendations when you've just had another squint at them?
Yeah, I just need to. I think I've made them a little too lengthy once I reviewed them.
Okay.
So I will get those out.
Okay. That's great. Thank you very much for that, Susan.
No problem.
Thank you, Denise. Okay, proxy and privacy. I've seen some activity on the list on these. Peter's not able to join the call, but on the call we have Susan, Seth, and James. So does anybody want to update the team on where you've got to? Woo.
Susan, do you want a lead or Kathy?
I sort of agree with this recommendation, but I'm also concerned that we've left out some important elements out of the previous proxy recommendation. So I put that into an email, which is probably, I don't know if that's been incorporated in here or not. I'm trying to see all of the... So I was concerned that we're leaving out the requirement or the suggestion that registrars have to disclose their affiliated relationship with proxy service providers, because that, to me, that's going to be the initial step in figuring this whole puzzle out. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that was a very strong recommendation, just because of the issues I see with, you know, the mainstay proxy, I know who that is, but there's a bunch of, you know, 100 at least of other proxy service providers that I cannot, it's very difficult. I'd have to spend a lot of legal outside counsel time to figure it out. And that just doesn't make sense. It's not a healthy marketplace then. And then I agree in theory that, you know, an accredited situation is, you know, accreditation is probably what we need, what ICANN needs to do. I just worry that it's going to take so long to get there, and that in the meantime, we're, you know, letting the fox into the hen house. So, you know, even though I would like to sort of morph this into a voluntary best practices stage one recommendation, and then stage two go immediately into an accreditation scenario. But I don't know that there's enough support for that, or any support for that.
Okay. Thank you. So Susan's raised, well, one query which we might just be able to sort out here on the phone, which is the loss of something that was included before, i.e. the obligation to disclose any affiliation with accredited registrars. Has that gone by accident or has that gone by design? Can anybody... Seth, are you holding the pen on this?
No, I'm not good at holding pens, but I'm happy to help. I don't know if this has been debated. I think James might have be the person to respond, because I have no problem with the disclosure requirement. I thought James might be the most interested in the issue.
Okay, James.
Well, you know, I don't really feel like I have a lot to add to this. It's already well exceeded, you know, my comfort zone, as I've indicated. You know, the disclosure requirements to me makes some degree of sense. I think it diminished in its relevance when we're talking about an accreditation program, because, you know, we can assume that those types of relationships are either understood or disclosed during the accreditation process. You know, whereas that sort of thing is, you know, if it is similar to what we would see, for example, in the registrar accreditation process. Anyway, that's yeah. I just feel like we've gone very prescriptive in this particular recommendation, so I'm kind of sitting back and watching the show now.
Yeah. So we're very much looking at a work in progress, are we? Do I take from your comment, James, that we're not close to presenting consensus views of that small team yet to the list? Because I don't think that this is not yet the wording that we're looking at now hasn't yet circulated on the full list, has it?
It's possible that I mean, there was something recently that I haven't had a chance to look at, possibly the most recent one. So it's, yeah, it's possible that I'm just not current.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyone help on this?
Yeah, Kathy.
Kathy.
First, I wanted to say that I heard 2 points from Susan, and I agreed emphatically with both of them. I really liked disclosure. I thought it was something we agreed to, and I wasn't sure how it got dropped, but I think, you know, disclosure of affiliated proxy and privacy service providers is great. More information is great. I also think that the accreditation is a ways down the line. I really like the idea of voluntary best practices, and let's encourage it, let's push it, and then the next review team and the community as a whole will get to see the uptake on it. It's a carrot, and if people don't follow it, then the stick's going to follow, and we know it will follow. But, you know, voluntary best practices, the entire community kind of viewed as a big step forward. So, but there's still some queasiness and uneasiness, as we saw at the microphones in the public forum. So I think that's where we are. So plus one on those things, if I understood them correctly. So thank you.
Thank you. So it's sounding a bit like the disclosure requirements, you know, noting what James has said, that if we were going full on for mandatory accreditation, that perhaps disclosure is less relevant, but I'm not hearing a huge pushback against including it. Seth, wanted the mic.
I sense that we're going to have a division on the issue of mandatory and voluntary, and so I know that Peter and I feel fairly strongly about not suggesting a voluntary system. And I know that Kathy and others feel strongly the other way. So, you know, I've always gone back to the issue of we're a review team and, you know, what is really our role in terms of recommendations? And so what I'd like to throw out for thought is whether we can make a recommendation and not opine. Whether it should, you know, not mention the issue of mandatory or voluntary, leave that out.
Mm-hmm. Or even,
I mean, that's, I guess that's
that picks up a thread from Peter, who's not able to join the call, sent some fairly lengthy comments, and he seemed to be going in that direction as well. James, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think Seth's assessment is correct. I mean, I'm not speaking for Kathy on this one. Just my own personal opinion and some of the conversations I've had with our legal counsel internally is that, you know, I just can't sign on to any recommendation that, with the stroke of a pen, disenfranchises millions of legitimate customers whose interests really are not represented in this group, I feel. So, you know, if I have to... you know, be the lone guy standing on the tracks when the train runs me over, then I guess that's the role I'm destined to play on this issue. But that's kind of, I think, where we're headed in the sub-team then.
Okay. Well, can I just ask something, because it sort of picks up a comment that Susan made just now, which was that I think... Susan, you expressed a worry that to arrive at a set of mandatory requirements might take so long or prove so difficult that a lot of the immediate or short-term benefits could be lost.
Right.
And I believe that where we were, you know, the consensus position that we had going into the publication of the draft report was to say, well, as Cathy said, this is the carrot here. We're saying, okay, community, come up with some best practices, clear your act up, if you like, get some good practices and some standardized responses, and there might not be a need to extend an accreditation system if we all go right. And I think that we also said, well, actually, there's quite a high measure of skepticism on this review team that would work, but, you know, let's give it a try. And taking Seth's point, you know, and we've just heard it on the call, we're going to very quickly start to see consensus breaking down if we insist on one thing or another. And so, Seth, I like your approach of trying to explore whether we can, you know, first of all, can we dodge the issue entirely? Can we set out a roadmap to say, as we did before, actually, to say, first of all, let's go for voluntary best practices. We will be looking to either the next review team or a certain point in time in the future to evaluate whether or not that's been successful. And if not, it's going to have to be a lot harsher and a lot more directive. But given that we're just starting down this road, let's, you know, we've got a lot of fact-finding in the policy-making process. Now, what we seem to have on the paper that I've just seen for the first time now is something that's a lot more condensed. It explains itself nicely. So from my perspective, it looks like it's heading in the right direction. And maybe we can help this small team here by exploring some of those. You know, this does not have to be the last word on privacy and proxy. We just have to, I think it's more valuable to have something that we can all sign up to. It's not essential. So, you know, we can't have, you know, we're not going to be, if you like, just have a minority of one on either side of this spectrum saying, no, I'm not signing up to that, and therefore we can't go forward. But let's try to explore what we can agree on, because I actually think we could probably do something useful by setting a process in motion that is then checked on in a couple of years' time, but could bring forward some real benefits much sooner than that. Does anybody follow what I was saying? I went on a bit.
Emily, this is Bill. I have a different question following on to James's comment. I'm wondering who isn't represented here. The millions of customers. I can understand there are people who want contact information kept private. There are services that provide that for them today. Requiring that those services be accredited need not disenfranchise any of the customers. It may disenfranchise some of the operators if they choose not to become accredited. But in fact, what we are doing is to provide, we would be doing by an accreditation process, is to provide better service to the customers. So I actually am wondering who is disenfranchised here.
James?
For a response, I would offer that this is an encroachment of ICANN policy into a private commercial relationship between an operator and its customers, and a registrar and its customers. And I believe very strongly that the idea or the concept of an independent service operator that's not affiliated with ICANN has some value. Now, I think Bill, it's you know, to Bill's point, it's not, you know, it's not entirely correct to say that just because an operator or someone enjoys the services of a provider now, that that provider should just go and fill out the paperwork and jump through a couple of hoops and pay the fees to ICANN, and now it's accredited and no harm, no foul. I think that it's unclear how that will translate into service quality, pricing, service availability in various countries or for various TLDs. And I think that we're now getting into an area where the voices of those who are calling for increased government and law enforcement reach into this type of data are, in my opinion, are kind of dominating this conversation, whereas the voices of those who believe that governments and law enforcement should have a minimal role in obtaining that information, or at least there should be some element of due process, involved, should be heard a little bit more of a balanced thing. I mean, for example, the drafted language we have is a lot better, but the first balance or the first swing at this, I thought, was particularly harsh in its criticism of the very existence of these types of services. And I think that once we, you know, establish that as a starting place for dialogue, it doesn't bode well for the for the whole direction of the conversation.
Thanks. Well, I think, at least from my perspective, part of the reason for starting from that point is the affirmation of commitments claims that there will be accurate information about registrants in the WHOIS system. The fact that privacy and proxy services exist is problematic. I'm not debating that they should in fact exist. I think they should. The problem is that ICANN has neglected this. It has allowed them to spring up, and it does not regulate them. And as a consequence, it cannot deliver on the promise that it has made in the affirmation of commitments. It has to do something.
I disagree, though.
Well, it either has to do something to regulate, or it has to change the affirmation of commitments, because there is no way to deliver on that promise. It is impossible.
And just to highlight, there's a bit of conversation going on in the chat at the moment. Seth is agreeing with Bill, and so is Michael, so is Omar. Seth, you wanted to take the floor?
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody we're a review team, and we look at the affirmation commitments objectively and without emotion, theoretically. And so, you know, I kind of agree with Bill. That's a promise made, and we're supposed to evaluate how we're doing in respect to that promise. I also am sensitive to some of what James has said, that governments are out there getting all sorts of information and exerting their sovereignty. So it's not an easy issue, but I think we need to go back to the fact that, and I think Peter noted in his email, that that we're empowered in a theoretical manner and not to solve the problem. And we keep going into this issue in terms of, you know, we're here to solve the problem, and we're not. So I think if we could step back a little from that aspect, luckily we don't have the harder job of solving the problem. And I think we can make a statement that doesn't implicate a lot of the things that are being discussed.
Yeah. James?
Yeah, I just want to 100% agree with what Seth has just described here. But my primary concern is that this is a top-down approach to solving a problem, or appears to be that we're on that track. Whereas, as a review team, you know, I think Bill actually, I don't know if it was intention or not, but he hit on the underlying question. Maybe the answer is we have reviewed the affirmation of commitments and found that ICANN has signed on to something that it is not currently capable of delivering on this promise. And you know, I think that to then take the next step and say, and here's what ICANN should do to solve it, to keep its promise, I think that's the part where I start to say, let me off the bus. Is that we've now stepped outside of identifying a problem or quantifying a problem and its impact, and now we've stepped into we're going to fix this. So I think this is some part of the reason I've emphasized that the idea that any recommendation here needs to emphasize the existing mechanisms within ICANN, such as a PVP, because this particular review team is not authorized to deliver a fully formed policy recommendation to ICANN like a baby, you know, in a basket left on the doorstep. I mean, it has to go through a process where, folks like myself and folks like governments and law enforcement, but also folks who use these services, all can contribute and their voices can be heard. I don't want to go into too much detail, but, you know, we've seen recently where these issues like this can escape these kind of insular communities like ICANN or like registrar groups or something like that and get out into and turn into boycotts and Twitter backlashes and things like that. And, I don't want to name names, but let's just say I was very close to an incident like that recently. And it is something that we should be mindful of, because there's a whole there's a whole ocean of folks out there that have different interests that can come down like a ton of bricks on for-profit commercial service operators like the ones that I represent. Thanks.
Thank you. I'd like to. This has been a useful exploration, and I hope that those working in the small team, and by the way, thank you, there's evidence of substantial work and thought that's going on. I think that you're making probably more progress than you give yourselves credit for. I hope that you've got some good soundings now from other members of the team. We constantly remind ourselves that we're not here to make the policy. I see that the language that's there up on the screen does indeed mention PDPs and, uses the sort of the could, for example, use this, could also do that. Now, we need to bottom out this mandatory or voluntary. I think if you're not able to reach agreement, I would strongly suggest that you go back to the findings that we had previously, which I think struck a reasonable balance that we could all live with. I think that satisfied the hawks as well as the doves in the team. We're describing here a roadmap. We're describing a process that will take some years, and I hear the people like Susan who would be frustrated by that, but these are difficult issues. They have not been addressed in a sort of policy environment in an adequate way or at all before, and it will take some time. So can I suggest that small team circulates some agreed language? Do you think it's realistic to do that by the end of this week?
Yeah, I think the sooner the better for our team.
I think that if we can, I would like to get some language, even if it means people letting some things go, cherished things go. I would quite like some language that we can all react to with enough time before we have to deliver this thing. This is difficult, and I think the people working on this are doing a great service to for the rest of the team and for the community in trying to nail this. Susan.
I just want to make the comment that I think Peter said he's out of pocket until after Easter.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure we could do that by Friday without his input, because he's been a central figure in this. And in just listening to everybody's discussion, I mean, my concern about, a requirement for disclosure of affiliated service providers, I think maybe we could write that up a little bit more as a finding and not a recommendation then, just so that if at least that issue is called out a little bit more clearly, then I think I could live with that and compromise.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm up for another redrafting of this, but I think we need Peter to do so, so the timing should include him.
Well, so why don't we send you all back into the ring and look for, I think Peter's back on Tuesday, his time, so I think let's say by the next call, because that will give him 2 days of his time, because he's a day ahead of the rest of us.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you very much. I think that's good progress there, and it's difficult issues. Thank you.
Emily, can I add one more thing? It's Kathy.
Yes. Hi, Kathy.
I don't know if you can hear me. I'm on a freeway right now.
Oh, hello.
But not driving, fortunately. Just a quick note about I think we've lost some of the other findings that we had earlier on about kind of the broad range of use of proxy privacy services for not only commercial organizations, but natural persons and non-commercial organizations. So I'll be trying to put some of that back in. So I like Susan's idea of bringing forward some of the consensus that we had before and some of the agreement, because I think it helped. Even there are communities very, very nervous about where we're going with proxies. And let me just put on my Kim Von Ark hat, since he asked me to. That we have no NCUC, NCSG representative with us right now. But there's a lot of concern there. So putting back some of that consensus language is what I use to kind of help pull them forward and make them feel a little more reassured. So I'll be trying to insert some of that back in. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, the next up is I drafted some language last week on recommendations 3 and 17. I don't know whether anybody had a chance to have a look at those or has any comments on those. I've had, they're quite lengthy. I'm happy to take comments if people want to do that on the list. That's fine. If you want to just throw anything out there now, equally, that would be welcome. Should we do a truth or dare thing? Has anybody actually had time to read this? Don't know how to read the silence there.
Emily, this is Bill. I missed the what is this. I had another conversation.
I don't know if you're in the you're not in the Adobe room, are you? So we have.
No, I'm walking to my next meeting.
Okay, so we have. I had the task from Costa Rica to redraft or to do something on the strategic priority recommendation, which was number 3. And put together the findings, and I think also just to have a look at the wording of the recommendation, although I can't. I think the recommendation is slightly tweaked. And then also 17, which was our famous alternative options recommendation, and again it was just pulling out the findings and putting in the recommendation as it morphed into, and just making clear that we're not proposing a change in policy, where the data's held, or any of the other things that seem to be causing widespread panic. And so does anyone have any comments on this? I find it hard to believe that, or not believe that, I don't feel completely confident that we have full consensus over this wording, and I'd like to be more confident that people have really had a chance to take it in and assess the wording.
So I will come clean. I'll come clean and admit that I have not read it.
Fine. That's kind of what I was expecting. Thank you for your honesty, Bill. Does anybody else want to follow Bill's example?
Yeah, me either. Sorry. Susan.
Okay, James has put a tick on the Adobe room, which I think is also a submission. Listen, can we take an action item to review those? It's only about 3 pages of text. I'm sure you'll have comments, particularly on the findings of strategic priority, which are rather trenchant. So perhaps, Alice, could you circulate the documents by email to the list? And can I ask for your comments before the next call? So we can now move on to the text on accreditation, which Kathy is going to to do while driving on the freeway in a completely legal and safe manner, though, of course.
Of course. I'm going to try this. Let's see. Does it count, Emily, that I printed out your recommendation?
Oh.
While I'm looking for mine. Does that count?
Well, that's progress. Thanks.
Okay, this was a text on accreditation. I actually had to scratch my head and wonder what, because we've been talking about accreditation and proxy privacy. And I went back to my, I kind of went through the discussion that we had in Costa Rica, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what I was supposed to do was look at the text of deaccreditation for the registrars and see if there was something short of off with your head and termination of the contract in the 2009 registrar accreditation agreement. And as James told us, it is there. It's 2.1, and it's an accreditation section under Section 2, which is ICANN obligations. And it says that it allows ICANN to suspend a registrar's ability to create new registered names or initiate inbound transfers of registered names for one or more TLDs for up to a 12-month period. And so this is, and then it gives certain, you know, if there are certain problems. So the beginning of the graduated sanctions is there. I guess one of our questions going forward will be, is it enough, or do we still, does it mean that we don't do our recommendation about more gradual sanctions, or would we still like to see more than what's offered here?
That's great, Kathy. Thank you, first of all, for working out what you were supposed to do on that, because I had completely forgotten, and for your research and finding that out. That's great, and also it does chime with what the compliance team told us, and I think we had some staff input on that, so that's great. James?
Just to address the question, I think, thank you, Kathy. I did see this. I did skim it. I have not sent a response, but one item I was planning to submit as a response was we had discussed some concepts, particularly with relation to who is and the operation and availability of a WHOIS server, not necessarily the data itself, but we had talked about, for example, an SLA associated with just the accessibility of a WHOIS server. I think this impacts registrars as well when they're operationally attempting to facilitate a transfer and the current registrar is holding the name hostage by not keeping their WHOIS server running. I know this is something that ICANN has looked at on a programmatic basis, and that was obvious from our visit out to Marina Del Rey recently. So I think that, if there's anything further we should be looking at, the answer would be any sort of recommendations between a nasty worded letter and a suspension. There could be in this intermediary step of some sort of financial penalty / SLA or service level exception I think that was also on the table in San Jose. Thank
you. Yeah, so that seems to be a steer, Kathy, towards we would be recommending the expansion of I think that there's also a theme, isn't there, of not just the stick but the carrot as well, and that we're recommending the sort of expansion of the tools and the type of tools in the toolkit for the compliance team. We may not need to even say any more than that, learning from our recent discussion on proxy and privacy, but that we're looking for that kind of movement. Does that help you, Kathy?
Sorry, coming off mute here. So let me see. So we're looking for kind of additional tools in the toolbox beyond 2.1, as we've now seen it, as well as 5.3, which is the complete termination of the agreement, that we'd like to see more tools and more graduated types of sanctions on the WHOIS. We can't speak to anything else but on the WHOIS.
Yeah, and also incentives as well as sanctions.
I'm sorry?
And incentives as well as sanctions.
Incentives, yeah.
So that just picks up a theme that we've discussed amongst ourselves, and we don't always... I think that hasn't reflected quite as strongly in our recommendations as we probably intended. James?
Just real quickly, what might be helpful is if we were to put together a sort of a hierarchy of enforcement actions. So the first one, I think, is described as, you know, a notification, and then the second one is a breach letter, and then now we have this new one that's just suspension, and then there's something, you know, and then there's termination. I think, you know, the capital punishment at the end of the line. And maybe what we would want to do is whatever we would want to identify as saying that this, there should be something in this other tier. There's a tier here that's missing. There's a tier here that's, you know, somewhere between breach letter and suspension. There's some other stronger penalty, like, you know, whether it's financial or something like that. Or some other incentive should exist that is equivalent at this tier, and that we could set up those different tier levels. And I'd be willing to take a swing at that, Kathy, in response to your document, take a first swing at that for the group to throw rocks at that and see if there's anything of value in pursuing that approach.
I just came off mute to ask if you wanted to work with me on it. That would be great.
Yes, will do. Sure.
Fantastic. Great. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for that, James, and we can have a look at that next time. Great. So I'd like to, unless there are any other comments, I'd like to move on to the next item on the agenda, which is an update on the status of the IDN recommendations. I guess it would be Michael or Kathy or I think Wilfried and Samad are not on the call, so...
Well, colleagues, it's Michael speaking from Moscow, so I'm ready to update on the current situation, which is not very much different from what we have already had before. And unfortunately, Dr. Starmat informed us that he is unable to give any of his comments until next Monday, April the 9th. And I'm ready to introduce any changes to the text of these three recommendations, to simplify them, to remove any ambiguity, etc. But of course, I would like first to have a kind of agreement and consensus within our small group. So I think, and there were no criticism about that, that there should be at least three positions for such consensus, that we should recognize, and we do recognize, that in the implementation of new TLDs, both IDNs and non-IDNs, there were not enough attention to the issues of who is and IDNs, and such problem does exist, and we need to somehow to solve it. Second, the idea to create a very limited, compact subgroup of experts to describe the problem, to fix the problem, and to try to introduce certain solutions, it's a good idea, and I think we should support it, but of course the deadlines should not be indefinite. And third, by no means the introduction of IDNs and such kinds of new technologies should not undermine who is as it is, and should not be any justification for just telling that with the introduction of IDNs, who is less important or less efficient, etc. So all policies and all procedures should be both applicable for IDNs and non-IDNs. We also have received a number of comments on behalf of ICANN staff, for example, and very valuable comments from CINIC from China. And I think we should take into consideration all of them. And finally, maybe there would be not three, but two or one recommendation, more laconic, more understandable, less ambiguous, And I think by the beginning of the next week, as soon as everyone is ready from our sub-team to give his or her feedback, we will be able to present the final version of such three recommendations.
That's great. Thank you, Michael, and thank you for that summary. Broadly speaking, I think that we're all fully behind the IDN recommendations. These have not troubled the group in terms of reaching consensus. This is an editing job, so if you can come back to the next call or hopefully circulate prior to the next call your draft language, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Emily, this is Philip.
Yeah.
If I could just jump in, I've got to run into my next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that in line, I think, with Seth's comments, I am about the last topic we were on. I'm in favor of ICANN doing something with privacy and proxy services. I just think they need to do something,
mm-hmm.
right? And if they don't, we have a mess. And I think it's our obligation to report that based on our charge from the affirmation of commitment. So.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Noted.
Yep.
Have
Bye.
A good meeting.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, so we'll look forward to getting the IDN recommendations early next week. Thank you, Michael, and thanks for the update. Language on timeframes and implementation paths. Oh, we accidentally did at the top of the call, so unless there are more comments on that, I think, Susan, we know where we're going on that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. And the next, sub-bullet point, compliance recommendations. I have to make a confession. I haven't even done anything about this. So I will be reviving that conversation. We've been in correspondence with Denise, and thank you, Denise, for providing more information to us from the compliance team, because we've been just trying to grasp what the actual numbers of staff were, because the reports that came through just recently seem to be a slight surprise compared to the one given by the compliance team last January, so we've been trying to clear that up. We're also going to get some information about vacant positions, actual spend and budget, which will help to give us some background to strengthen, I think, our findings and recommendations. So I will commit on behalf of Bill and Peter to have some language. If it's not for the next call, it will be shortly thereafter. So I think by the end of next week, given that Peter's going to be away until Tuesday. Okay. We have here on the agenda staff report on implementation of Okay. Please go ahead. Sorry, Denise?
Can people hear me okay?
We can now.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was concerned my headphone wasn't working too well. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that you wanted me to walk through the initial staff input on the recommendations that was submitted. Is that correct, or is there something else you'd like me to do?
I think you, me, and Kathy had an offline conversation about this, Denise, and we. So, yes, I think that was the plan, but you had raised a sort of a point which I think was very valid, that many staff members did make inputs into those comments, and so you would feel more comfortable having more voices on the call. Is there anything that you can add or suggest about
doing? Again, I'm I'm really happy to walk through the staff input. My point is that if we want to get into great detail or drill down into some of these topics, it would be best to bring the sort of staff subject matter expert onto the phone so we can have a more detailed conversation on, you know, various things. And also, of course, I'm not in the RA negotiations, and so some of the ongoing proposals that are being addressed there are quite applicable to the input that we've provided. And so so I think it might make sense, depending on what the team feels its needs are, to have me, you know, go through these recommendations, and then as team members can identify items that they would like to have a more extensive discussion on or more staff input on, we can arrange that perhaps for the next call.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Emily, can I just add a note?
Yep.
Yeah, part of the thinking, just as by way of background for the team, is that hearing on our last call and our many prior meetings how important implementation is, that this is now our focus, as we know, for the most part, what our recommendations are. We've got them, you know, 90% done. But so the thinking was that if there's, you know, real concern about implementation, better for us to know now and see what we can do. So hence kind of the special treatment of the staff comments is they're ultimately responsible for implementation. And that's what we're really concerned about now. So thanks.
Okay. So can we, Denise, before we get you started, it's now 6 minutes past the hour. I think we're aiming to finish the call by 5:30. Is it going to be achievable to go through for you to walk us through these comments in that time remaining?
I'm happy to talk fast and focus on the
Should we see where we get to? I just thought I'd highlight the timing issue.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, that would be very helpful. Please do.
And so I'll please feel free to stop me with questions, and mm-hmm. the time I'll start quickly going through them. On recommendation one, a single who is policy. In the input, staff primarily wanted to confirm that we'll be the intent is to collect and post all the current GTLD WHOIS policies and procedures rather than create new ones. And I'm assuming that is indeed the intention of the team. There's just a little question about how it was written. Recommendation two about the WDRP, the WHOIS Data Reminder Policy. So I think there's been a fair amount of discussion, including some additional discussion in Costa Rica about the WDRP requirements, the fact that ICANN staff currently has no contractual authority to require registrars to track changes or provide ICANN with data for recommended metrics. And as I think staff has explained in the conference call and in our meetings, that staff is exploring various ways to achieve some improvements in the WHOIS accuracy, including several items that are being discussed as part of the RAA negotiations as well. And those include some specific things on adoption of registrar best practices to improve WHOIS accuracy. Another path, of course, is a new GNSO consensus policy that would modify what's required under the WDRP, and just noting an obvious additional path to implementation. I'm not, you know, recommending this, but just to note for you some of the things that may be in play on implementation paths for this recommendation. And then, of course, is compliance, I think, as discussed with the team. They're looking at building additional compliance tools for measuring and assessing impact, and looking at the cost of and different approaches to get a more accurate measure of WHOIS accuracy. And of course, I think as you also heard from compliance, because of the early feedback that the compliance team got from the review team, they changed their WDRP audit for 2011 and included questions that elicited information from the registrars on how they verify WHOIS contact information on upon registration and also on an ongoing basis, and that results will be shared with the team and the public soon. So recommendation three on the strategic priority, staff provided information on how WHOIS is currently treated as a priority, both in terms of staff resources, budget resources, and WHO compliance reports to. So recommendation four.
Sorry, can I just stop
yes.
you there, because this is something that, that we've been discussing and wondering amongst ourselves. So the staff view on recommendation three is we're doing this already, and this is
so we're there. Is it?
Yes.
You know,
so
a kind of we wouldn't have to change in order to fulfill this recommendation.
Yeah. And so this staff input is not so we're not providing staff the viewpoint. What our intention was here was to provide information and to seek clarification and validation of what our understanding is of what you're recommending. What you see articulated in the staff input is here's what we're currently doing that makes WHOIS a strategic priority. If you're recommending something different than what we're currently doing, then, you know, we would need more guidance from you on
right.
in your mind, what does it mean to make WHOIS a strategic priority beyond what we're currently doing? I think this is probably good.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Susan, you have your hand. Sorry, just to interrupt, Susan, her hand raised.
So this was the one, I apologize because I'm getting very confused on which is what recommendations is, you know, the numbers. I'm not keeping that straight, and I don't have my copy in front of me. But was this the recommendation where we were, you know, they would assign a senior executive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I think just in the response, and we sort of talked about this last call, that we need to strengthen that recommendation. So I just wanted to make that comment and make sure that it's on our list to do, because I'm getting lost on our list.
Thank you. Yes, it is. That's something that I had to do. I've attempted it in that first draft, but I, you know, now that I've heard from Denise, I'm going to have another look
okay.
as well. So, and I encourage you to do so as well, Susan, because I know it's something that you're interested in.
Yes, I will do that. Thanks.
Okay, so recommendation four was the recommendation about outreach. And again, the staff input articulated what, in broad brush, what ICANN is currently undertakes for outreach strategies. Stakeholder Services is developing a new stakeholder outreach program. Compliant is engaging in some new activities to do general outreach, and also as part of the new policy development process at the GNSO. Recently approved their outreach requirements in that as well. So those are the currently what's being done. I think the team specifically suggested in our conversations that stakeholders such as national data protection authorities and consumer communities should be targeted in outreach. And so if there's additional specific targets or activities that the team thinks ICANN should undertake, would be useful to get that guidance from the team.
Can I ask a question about that? Kathy?
Yes.
Great. Denise, I apologize. I don't have the comments in front of me. I don't have much in front of me, except the road. But here's a question. The new GNSO outreach requirements, I don't know about that. Could you either send us a link or maybe now, if you know about it, talk about the overlay, the overlay with kind of what we're asking for and the WHOIS. One of the things that we were thinking of, and correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, is kind of an affirmative outreach to groups that we know are interested in the WHOIS policies by the GNSO. So affirmative outreach to law enforcement. The list that Sharon Lemon put together, affirmative outreach to data protection commissioners, so that they don't always have to follow the GNSO list, because they won't. Some kind of affirmative outreach on something that's going on. Sarah?
I'm sorry, Kathy, you were cutting out at the end.
Hello?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out at the end. So I think, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
It's not my phone. Okay. So I think, yeah, the I'll send you a link on the outreach required as part of the GNSO's policy development process. But I don't think it's in detail prescriptive, but it does also talk about outreach to potentially interested stakeholders. But I can certainly send you a link on that. If the team is thinking about, or if it means more structured, detailed outreach strategies or mechanisms, it would be useful to get more guidance on that. I think the staff comments were intended to just note things that are relevant, that are currently in practice or planned, that are relevant to doing outreach on who is and other issues. Okay, recommendation 5, data accuracy, that ICANN should take appropriate measures to reduce the number of unreachable who is, and noting the NORC data accuracy study, I'm calling for 50% reduction in the next 2 years. Staff noted in in our response that increasing who is accuracy is a goal that's being explored in a few ways, in particular through right now through the RA negotiations. In terms of the specific recommendation number 5 and the specific goals included there, I think we talked about this most recently in Costa Rica, that staff understands that the team means undeliverable when it means unreachable, and that they're sort of issues involved in how far ICANN can and should go in determining whether in trying to determine what is deemed undeliverable. In other words, what level of accuracy is desired? And staff noted that, of course, achieving 100% accuracy may involve intrusive verification methods that can raise privacy or cost concerns. So going through the decision-making and planning process to identify the right at the right point of accuracy versus cost and privacy issues would be an important component of implementing this recommendation. Also staff raised the issue of determining extent of a study, like what is a valid sample size, given the overall market. Is your suggestion to follow closely the NORC accuracy study sample size, or to scale it with the market? That was also another issue raised in the staff comments.
Denise, I saw a question from staff saying, are you talking about making things 100% accurate? And I think it's absolutely clear, or I thought it was absolutely clear, that we're not. We're talking about contactability, but is that something that staff understood from our recommendations, that we were trying to get everything 100% accurate?
Yep. I think that especially the Costa Rica follow-up conversations were useful in that regard. There's a whole range of, potential mechanisms that could be used to determine whether something is undeliverable or whether there is indeed no contact at the other end. If you email someone or send them a snail mail letter, try and contact them by phone, send a contractor out to drive by their address. There's a whole range of things, conceivably that you could do. I think one of the questions that staff raised was, what could and should an implementation effort look like in this regard when you're going after
I had thought that it was clear in what we were saying that we're not talking about that sort of obsessive behavior, but actually more using the terms and the concept in the NORC report, and that undeliverables were ones where every single means of trying to contact failed. But Susan, I think if you because you have the task of reviewing this wording in the light of how staff is understanding them, it's probably useful to just be aware of those misunderstandings, and that we need perhaps to be a little clearer.
Yeah, I think it was more along the lines of the avoidance of doubt. You are, verify that you're talking about the pragmatic means used in the NORC study to identify uncontactable.
So we also may, this may be an indication that we need to talk to staff about this and get and sort of have that open discussion with them so that we're understanding. You know, I mean, even though, Denise, you're doing a great job of communicating that, but it may...
We might want to flag this one for additional discussion. And also, you raise a good point, Susan. I think also that it's an important discussion point within the RA negotiations, of course. And so I think the team would probably benefit from getting an update on where this issue stands in negotiations, since additional accuracy and verification requirements at the point of registration is something that's been an active part of the discussions and they're negotiating various issues that touch on this in the negotiations. And we also noted that, of course, in the staff input. But we also pointed out, of course, that if the negotiations ultimately aren't successful in reaching agreement on verification obligations that are not included in a new RAA, amended RAA, then a GNSO policy development process would need to be initiated to create consensus policies that could be enforceable on registrars. Okay, then moving on to data accuracy, which is recommendation 6 and 7. This is the 6 is the recommendation about publishing an annual accuracy report on measured reduction in unreachable WHOIS and status reports. So relevant to the prior discussion about unreachable, we noted again that staff is reviewing how to report, how to better report on WHOIS inaccuracy complaints and measure reductions over time, and more proactively engage with noncompliant registrars. So that was noted in there. I think the team's recommendations on number 6 is fairly well understood. And staff noted that analysis and looking at ways to improve accuracy, again, are under discussion in the RAA and are also a priority for our compliance staff. Recommendation 8 on also under the data accuracy heading that I can to ensure there's a clear, unambiguous, and enforceable chain of contractual agreements with registries, registrars, and registrants. So we noted in the staff comments that we're also pursuing this goal, and of course, particularly the use of graduated penalties. Excuse me. And this is part of the RA negotiations. We also pointed out in the staff notes that there are some graduated sanctions already included currently in the RAA, and there's a footnote there that gives you the citations. I think you've already mentioned them earlier in the call as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the again, if we bring some additional staff onto a call with the team, this would be also, I think, a really good point to give the team an update on in terms of where we are in the RA negotiations. A fair amount of time has been spent in discussing this as well. So in the staff comments, we also noted that if there's a desire to require registrars to conform to a particular and more rigorous course of action and remedying who is at data inaccuracy, that's the RA could be amended to these negotiations, or a consensus policy could be pursued to require more and additional specific steps from the registrars. We also noted in the staff comments, something I think Kurt had also raised in Costa Rica, that that enhanced WHOIS accuracy provisions theoretically also could be introduced through provisions in the new GTLD, related to the new GTLD program, such as through registry-registrar agreements with new registries, or an RA form that would be applied to new GTLDs. Again, sort of theoretical and potential implementation paths for this item. Recommendation 9, also under data accuracy, was that ICANN should ensure that requirements for accurate WHOIS data are widely and proactively communicated. This is also something that staff has been engaged in, and you've heard of some of the activities that compliance has undertaken. And in terms of the registration education efforts, we note in the staff notes so the activities that are currently that are occurring, and also note that the RA requires registrars to post links on their websites. Let me see here. I think one of the questions that was raised by staff here is that whether it was the review team's opinion or guidance that the current communication to new registrants and renewing registrants is inadequate, and whether some more specific or different types of communication should occur, whether there should be enhanced communication obligations on the part of registrars or ICANN staff. So I think that was a question that would be useful to get some clarification on. Depending on what type of communication or communication requirements the team wants is recommending, the RA could be amended to require registrars to undertake additional steps, or a consensus policy could be pursued on this. let me see.
How are you doing? Of course, like you're struggling. Have you got a cold?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting over a bad cold. Sorry. I hope you can hear me. Okay. I think we also noted in the staff notes that another potential implementation path that may be considered here would be the registrar amending the registrar code of conduct. Which is in the RA under 3.7.1, amending that might be another potential path to implementation of this recommendation as well. So recommendation 10, data access privacy services, that ICANN should develop and manage a system of clear, consistent, and enforceable requirements for all privacy services consistent with national laws. So in this one, as again I think we also discussed in Costa Rica, that staff is exploring various mechanisms to have clear, consistent, and enforceable requirements for privacy services, and that staff has proposed creating an accreditation program for privacy services. And this is something that's being discussed as part of the RA negotiations. We also noted in the staff notes that it would be difficult for staff to ensure that all privacy services are covered by a proposed system, since ICANN, of course, doesn't have contracts with registrants. That would limit our ability to identify all privacy services in use. But, of course, and you note in the staff notes that if an obligation is included in the RIA that a registrar may not knowingly accept registrations from unaccredited privacy services, that we anticipate that would capture a substantial portion of the privacy registrations available today. Let me see. In addition to noting the negotiations underway on this topic, staff notes also noted that creating a new ICANN accreditation program for privacy service would have significant budget and operational impact and would require time and resources to implement, and that we would need to carefully analyze and provide an implementation plan for this. Do you want me to stop, or do you want me to continue on to recommendations?
No, it's helpful if you have the energy to
sure. To
keep going. I think this is a really helpful view, particularly as we've allocated some redrafting and reviewing tasks for ourselves. So it's just good to have this reminder. If I can
trouble you to keep going for
sure, I'm happy to. And if anyone has to drop off, I'm happy to talk one-on-one or answer emails as well. So please feel free to contact.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Denise. This is James. I have to leave. I hope you're feeling better. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So recommendation 11 under data access privacy services that ICANN should develop a graduated and enforceable series of penalties for privacy service providers who violate the requirements and a clear path to de-accreditation. So in the staff notes, we state that an accreditation program, if an accreditation program were established for privacy services, then we would expect that a graduated and enforceable series of penalties would apply, would be part of this program. And we noted that community input would likely be sought on how such a program would be structured. And questions including what types of penalties should apply, if we de-accredited a privacy service, what would happen to the service's customers, those types of practical but important issues would need to be addressed as part of implementation for this type of effort. And then, of course, ICANN's ability to implement this recommendation would be dependent on entering into direct contracts with privacy service providers. And of course, without those contracts, we would not have the ability or our ability to enforce them would be enforce this effort would be limited. And so we note that we continue to analyze the various elements of such a privacy service accreditation program. The work continues on that. But again, any additional sort of guidance on this from the team would be helpful, and we may also want to flag this.
Denise, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Great. Thanks, and thank you for doing this when you're not feeling well. We appreciate it. Was there any when we were talking about privacy service providers, and we don't have a lot of information, but the sense was that it was actually the registrars themselves that are providing most of the privacy services that we, at least the ones we knew about. Susan, correct me if I'm wrong. And so we thought that there was kind of a closer hook to getting them and to entering into contracts with them because it's already the entity that's under contract with ICANN through the RAA. Did that come up at all in your discussions? And yeah, do you agree with us that that's a good hook for bringing them in?
Yeah, and I don't have those in front of me, and nor do I know how sort of accurate or comprehensive our statistics are in this measure. But clearly, if a contracted, if a registrar we have a contract with is the one providing the privacy services, and that and we decide to go this route, it would make it easier. But I think there's a whole range of structures that are used to provide privacy services, so that's something that we'd have to look at. I think some registrars have completely separate subsidiaries under which they offer privacy services. Some are the same. There's registries that are involved, I think, are there, Kathy, that are, have some involvement in this area, as well as entities that have no contractual connection to ICANN.
And some resellers, too.
Yeah, okay. And resellers, of course, are important, yeah.
Thank you.
Denise, Kathy, I've got a suggestion, which is that we could stop you here and as a first item on our agenda next time, because just because we're losing people,
okay.
Michael's had to drop off, and so has James, and so we're getting down to quite a small group now on the call, and I think it would probably benefit, and also aware that you're not feeling brilliant at the moment.
No, I'm fine, but yeah, I understand we're kind of up against our stop time. So we can,
how about we do this? If we start with you next time.
Sure.
We'll just do the first preliminary start, you know, the approving the report, blah, blah, and then we get you on as agenda item, first substantive one, and we finish your canter through the staff comments, because it is very useful. Before we leave it, do we have any, particularly for those tasked with some drafting, are there any specific questions that you'd like to pose to Denise now? On your bits?
I just have a comment. This is Susan. In just hearing, you know, and I read the staff comments and then hearing Denise discuss them, it does make me wonder, we've continually tried to battle between being proscriptive and just making a general recommendation, but it seems like the staff is coming back with clear questions on how to implement or what we meant from implementation. So I'm just wondering if maybe we're not on the wrong path to be more prescriptive on some of these things, or just more detailed about our findings, or you know, because there seems to be a lot of clarification needed.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, Susan, even if it means not being that prescriptive in the recommendations, at least being a lot clearer in our findings or setting the context, because some of the things that we're being asked for clarification of, or, you know, do you mean a PDP with this one, or do you mean, you know, it's sort of like, whoa, no, no, we weren't
yeah.
meaning that at all.
Yeah.
But it also does highlight, I think, the, you know, the vulnerability of ICANN in one way, in that it's only got contracts. It doesn't have the sort of legislative power that, say, a government or an intergovernmental organisation would have to just go, from now on, if you want to be in our gang or in this market, you do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I'm hearing, but, you know, it's something that we need to reflect on as a team, is the clarity of our language, but also what would be, you know, how are we going to help the staff in finding implementation, something that they feel they can do, rather than at the moment. The impression that I get from the questions is almost sort of, sometimes I feel like, well, this wording is quite clear, isn't it? Why all the problems? So, you know, we all need to reflect on that and how to deal with it, I think. But it's certainly very helpful to have Denise walking through these. I think if we can resume this conversation next time, and we'll have had a few more days as well to reflect on what this means for our little bits and pieces that we're working on, that will help, I think.
Okay. And so I would start, I guess, would do recommendation 12 through 20, proxy services, I think, at the
yeah.
next. And then...
Yeah.
If we do think that the staff, that the team will want some more an update on where we are with the RA negotiations, or some more detailed discussion of on how to structure things like the improved accuracy recommendations, we'd need probably at least a week lead time, if not more, to lock something in on a couple different staff people's calendars. So just to give you a heads up on that.
Yeah. Well, why don't we say yes to that? Because I think it would be useful. I think that there's obviously a great deal of overlap with the RAA, and you know, if we can have some sort of update on that before we come to finalise, as that would really help. And also, if we could just be told, either online or offline, if we're heading down a path in our recommendations which is going to be in direct conflict with something that's going to end up in the RAA, that would just be helpful to know.
Okay, sounds good.
So if we could request that and either have it for next week or the week after, that would be great.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Thank you very much, and heroic job there.
Happy to do it.
Okay, we'll get well soon. Unless there's any items of other business, I'm going to bring the call now to a close. Thank you for your participation, particularly those who've managed to hang on right to the bitter end. We have got plenty to do. It's going to be hard now, consistently hard work until the end of the month. Let's just keep grinding away at it and we will get it done. All right, so look forward to speaking to you all next week and to reviewing all of your texts on the list in the next few days. And also, happy Easter to those who are celebrating it, and happy holidays.
You too.
Okay. Good morning.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye.